to make any choices. He leaves the choice, the choices that you make, up to you. And sometimes we make good choices and sometimes we make bad choices. David was a man that made a poor choice. And when you make a poor choice, God shows us in the scriptures what he does when you make a bad choice. And in Psalm 51, I want to preach on the subject, the power of forgiveness. Because here's what I want us to understand. And by the way, this forgiveness is with God. And what I believe is, about every 2 or 3 years, we should set aside a time in which we just stop and we look at forgiveness. Now, you know, it doesn't mean we can't deal with it 3 times a year, but I want to make sure that we realize that the choices we make, and God does not force us to get right, but there's a power that God uses that works on the inside of us. There's this power called guilt. And God uses guilt to bring us to a place where we're willing to surrender and get right with God. And by the way, thank God for the guilt. You know, when I was a teenager, I had sin in my life, and I knew I had to have forgiveness. And I'll never forget when I put my faith and trust in Christ, man, that power of forgiveness, what a difference it made in my life. I mean, I was relieved of all of that burden, you know, and all of that guilt that I carry. In the passage we're going to read here, David had committed adultery. He had sinned with Bathsheba. And the Bible says in this passage, and outlines for us not only what David said, but what's on the inside of David, the guilt that he carried. He had been carrying this guilt for about 1 year. And he was burdened down so heavy. And look, if you would, at the opening. In fact, let's read the introduction right at the top below the chapter. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him when he had gone into Bathsheba. So we see that here that God has told us the event or the incident in which this occurred. Verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, or my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Here now we have David who had been struggling with this guilt. And God had been dealing with David's heart since he had sinned. For over a year now, David was just buried with guilt. He obviously had no peace. He had nothing but just guilt. And that guilt bared burden more. He was under great conviction. Then God sent a prophet by the name of Nathan. When that came, it was evident that guilt began to have some symptoms in David's life. It works. And feedback that he's unworthy. And he's carrying this day in and day out. It seemed that the result of David's guilt was anger. I'm sure he wasn't a very pleasant person. And when David had Nathan offered to read the story, you notice by the response of David, the guilt, the anger that he had. When you read the story, you won't need to look it up, but it's in 2 Samuel. Here's what he says. Here's Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said to him, they're working one seed, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. He took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, and David's anger was kindled against that man, and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee over the king of Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Now David was angry. His first response was anger. I'm going to take that man. I want to take his life. David was angry. That's what happens when people become guilty, convicted of sin. They get angry. It just seems to be the natural consequence of it. And sometimes it can even get worse, where people could actually do things to themselves or do things to others. It's amazing how many people are hurting other people because of the guilt of their own life, and how sometimes they will lash out at other people, and how sometimes they will refuse to get along with other people because of the guilt that they're carrying, the conviction they have over sin. But you know, the fact is, God can use that in our life to get our attention to come to Him. You know, one of the good things I like about this story is that it ends very well. Even though David had sinned, God promises forgiveness to David, just like He promises forgiveness to us. And you know, none of us in our lifetime will probably ever go as far as David has gone. But even as far as David had gone, he had not gone so far that he could not have the forgiveness of God. The three lessons I want to introduce to you tonight. We don't have any PowerPoints, nothing like that tonight. Let's just focus on forgiveness tonight. There are three things I want to say to you, three lessons that we can grab a hold of about the forgiveness of God. If you want to take your notes out in your service program there, we have some notes there for you to kind of follow along so we can capture this very important truth. Number one is the presence of conviction. David, of course, obviously now being rebuked, he is under that conviction. And instead of pleading for justice at this point in verse number one, we find him, letter A, pleads for loving kindness. Did you see that? He said, according to thy loving kindness. David is now asking God for his loving kindness. I like that word loving kindness because it speaks of so much about God. You see, the Bible said that God is rich in mercy and plenteous in mercy. God wants to forgive. David is no longer able to hide his sin because God knew it. You know, he thought somehow he could cover his sin. He thought he could hide it. Maybe he could hide it from other people around him. He could hide it from the kingdom. But at this point, everyone knew, and God revealed it. Today, you know, we have to deal with our own sin. You know, we can't hide it. We can't put it aside. It can be rather obvious that there's something in our life that is not right. And if we're honest before God, we need God's forgiveness every day. I don't know about you, but I certainly need God's forgiveness. So the idea of the loving kindness strikes at the heart of a merciful God. The word means that it moves in the heart of God to give mercy toward all of us because of who he is. And David says, I need your kindness toward me, God. I need your kindness. I ask you to relieve me. Relieve me of this guilt. But then secondly, I notice that not only with this presence of conviction, David pleads, if you would, for loving kindness. He pleads for mercy. Notice what he said. He said, not only according to thy loving kindness, but according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Something I found that's really interesting is, as a parent, you have to learn to have a multitude of mercies. You know, it's easy for us to not have multitudes of mercies. You know, sometimes we can have okay, we'll be merciful to a certain extent. You know, we'll go so far. I mean, you keep doing it over and over again, it's hard for me to be merciful. But God doesn't work like that. God says, I am merciful. And, you know, tonight, if you're carrying a load of sin and you say, well, you know, I've been dealing with this thing in my life ever since I've been little or ever since I've been an adult, you know, young adult or whatever, or I've been dealing with this, you know, for so many months or whatever. I just want you to know that God is willing to forgive you. If you have the conviction of God, that's God's willingness to forgive you. Amen? That's the mercy of God. And so this idea of conviction, by the way, if conviction is working in your life, that is just God's way of getting inside you, to get inside your heart, to show you that he does have a compassion for you, that he does care for you, that he does love you, and that he does want to forgive you. And I'm glad tonight that God is a forgiving God. And my question tonight is this: why would we want to carry a guilt of sin around? Why would we want to carry it around? Why would we want to carry the burden and all of the things that come with it? And as we read the whole psalm here, Psalm 51, we learn that David was going through a multitude of different emotions. He was going through so many things internally, and even though he'd been trying to hide sin, that sin could not be hidden. And even in the hiding of the sin, he still lost a lot of things. And he's saying, God, I want all of that back. I want my relationship with you back. I want that walk with you back. I want that newness with you that I had when I first met you. Because the only relief from the presence of conviction and guilt is the mercy of God Almighty. But secondly, I want to call your attention to the prayer of confession. And this one may just kind of drill down to right where we are. I want to unpackage this for us so we can capture really the heart of God in forgiveness. Confession has been one of those areas and we tell them something. You know, so we go to religious person, priest or whatever. We're going to tell them what we've done or whatever the case is. And they think that somehow that's what this means. But it means confession to God. The idea is that I go to God. Now I want you to see how David confesses to God. Notice, if you would, at verse number 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Now, letter A, he recognizes the evil of sin. Because really what David is doing here in these two verses is he's dealing with all the bad parts of sin. He basically covers all his bases. And here's what he says. Notice he uses three key words. I want you to notice he uses the word iniquity, he uses the word sin, and he uses the word transgression. Iniquity, sin, and transgression. Each of those have a different aspect of sin. For example, iniquity is an act of injustice. It's a basic act of unholiness. It's unrighteousness. It's basically a rebellion to God. And I know there have been times in my life, as I'm sure in all of our lives, when we've just been in rebellion to God, period. Even as a believer, we've just kind of rebelled. You know, maybe we didn't like something. Maybe God dealt with about something. It just didn't sit well with us in our spirit. But the Bible says that iniquity is where we rebel against God. The word sin means perverseness or crookedness. It's the idea of a voluntary departure. It's going away from God. And boy, I tell you, nothing could be any worse than walking away from God. And I'm amazed at how that so many people walk away from God, but yet, you know, God is still there to say, all right, I'm going to forgive you. You know, the picture of the prodigal son, of course, a great picture that teaches us two ways of man, and yet there's a loving God, so there's only one way, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. But man, you know, we can depart, but God is still there. He's still faithful to forgive us. So we have that. And then thirdly, is he uses the word transgression. The word transgression means to miss the mark. It is if you were to shoot at a bullseye and you miss the mark. I don't know if you've ever gone to the shooting range and practice shooting a gun or maybe a bow. It's not as easy as it looks. There's a skill to it. You know, I don't think there's anyone who's gifted just, you know, pick up a gun and shoot, hit it every time. Any more than a guy can shoot and just, you know, with an arrow and boom, every time hit the target. There are times we miss it. You know, even some of the best shooters still miss. We miss. And that's the idea. The transgression is missing the mark. That there are times when we just miss it. That we miss God's standard. And that's what we're talking about this morning with religion. Religion misses God's standard. Only Christianity fulfills the standard of God through Jesus Christ. And so tonight, one of the very first things I think is very significant is that David did not try to hide and cover his sin before God. He laid it all out to God. He just simply confessed it to God. He was giving everything to God, realizing of what he did. And all the wickedness. He didn't try to shortchange. You know, today we kind of like to kind of water sin down, don't we? You know, it's a boo-boo. It's a mistake. It's a illness. It's a disease. It's just a bad habit. No, let's just call sin what it is. If sin is sin, let's call it sin. Amen? So we recognize the evil of sin. And then second of all, we recognize the commission of sin. He admits. He did not blame others. He admits that it's him that sinned. When you study this out, you'll find 10 times he uses a personal pronoun referring to himself. I, my, me. David is saying that I have sinned against you. It's not Brother Shamsley made me do it. It's not my wife made me do it like Adam tried. It's not the devil made me do it like Flip Wilson used to say. It's not somebody else made me do it. It's not that, you know, this person made me mad. That's why I did it. No, the bottom line is it's us. You know, we have to admit it. We have to lay the blame not on others, but see it on ourselves. He laid the blame on himself where it belongs. Not Bathsheba, not the castle, not the place of where he was in life. He blamed it on himself. He personally had sinned. No wonder David is called a man after God's own heart, because he recognized the fact that he had sinned. And tonight, that's a very powerful lesson we can learn, that we confess sin and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. But then thirdly, he recognizes the cleansing of sin. Verse number 2, can I call your attention to the third word of verse number 2? Would you look at it with me? And what is that word? Thoroughly. Does it look like thoroughly to you? You know, when I saw that word, and for several years I'd read through it, and I saw the word, and I always just kind of, I guess in my mind, put the O in front of the R. Thoroughly. And I guess for us in our English American mind, we might think, oh, thoroughly, is there really a difference? There is a difference. Let me show you what it is. Thoroughly is from the inside out. In other words, what David is saying to God, wash me from the inside out. You know why he had so much conviction on the inside? He wanted to get rid of that. He wanted that out of his life. He didn't want to carry that guilt anymore. He just wanted to just, Lord, clean me up on the inside. Wash me thoroughly from the inside out. And when I think of thoroughly, meaning as if it were like to take it off of me, but when I say thoroughly, it's inside of me. Take away the lack of joy. Take away the lack of peace. Take away the anger that's inside of me. Take away that sleeplessness that comes because of the guilt of sin. Take away the pressure and the dissatisfaction with everything around me. Take that away. That's what David was saying. He said, purge has the idea of the inward parts. Verse 6, did you notice? He said, purge me with hyssop. Verse 7. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, he says. He says, I need for my life to be cleansed from the inside out. I wonder about you tonight. You know, when sin comes in your life, do you have that kind of conviction? If you do, praise God. The things that bother me is not so much that part of people when they say, you know, I have so much conviction. It's those who have no conviction when they sin. That's when I would be concerned. You know, if you could just freely sin and have no conviction about it, boy, I would be checking my life. But it's normal for us to have this conviction because God is inwardly speaking to us to bring us back to Him. Now, I want you to see what happens. There's the promise, number 3, of restoration. Look at the promise. Letter A, there's the joy that comes. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, there's always joy when forgiveness comes. Amen. I know when you first got saved, you just existed. Joy, explain. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says that the angels rejoice over one lost sinner who repents. I mean, we find over and over in Scripture that there's overwhelming joy that comes in our life when we have the forgiveness of God. And what God is saying here to David and to us is that, you know, when we get our sins taken care of and forgiven, then God can give us back the joy that we had in life. All right, what that means is, by the same token, on the other side of it is, when we have guilt in our life and unforgiven sin, then we don't have joy in our life. I don't know about you, but I think life's too short to live it without joy. It just, you know, it goes so quickly. I don't waste my life with you know, this guilt of sin and with something in my life that I'm not right with God, whether it's my prayer life or my thought life or whether it's maybe what I'm not doing or maybe the things I should be doing or maybe God's speaking to me about something. I don't think it's a good thing that we would somehow or another just ignore God. I mean, there's enough pressure in the world as it is. Why add more pressure to ourselves? Because once we have the relief of forgiveness, God says he gives us joy. I'll tell you, the greatest and most exciting thing in all the world is to see that forgiveness with God handed down to us the moment we confess our sins. There's joy. Verse number 9, the Bible speaks of this forgiveness. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. God says he's going to take all iniquities, and he's going to blot them right out. As far as the east is from the west, what's he going to do with our sins? He's going to cast them behind him. He's going to take them away. Man, that's forgiveness. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. When you're forgiven with God, that's relief. And what I mean by relief is this: God relieved us from the punishment of those things. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad Jesus did that for us? Aren't you glad you can be forgiven every day? I'd like to, you know, there's been times I thought about this. I'd like to go through a day where I could start in the morning, go all the way through the day, and go to bed at night and never sin. Anyone ever thought about doing that? Anyone ever try to do that? Now here's the other part to that. Some people will say, well, I tried, didn't work, so why try anymore? And that's not an excuse either. But I tried. I'd go through the day, and I'm thinking, and one good way I thought would be good is just not be around anybody. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Do people cause you to sin? Can anyone relate to that? So maybe I'll just go out and hide out in the woods and be away from somebody, and I wouldn't sin, right? But guess what? When I pillow my head at night, God reminds me of something of an attitude I had. Something of a lust I had. Something inside that I didn't even know was there. God showed me. And sometimes late at night, God will wake me up and say, I want to talk to you. And I said, but God, I'm trying to sleep. He said, I know that. Wake up. And let me tell you something about this. And that's just the way it works. But the good part is, God is always there to forgive. Forgiveness for you. My question tonight, again, goes back to the question I asked you earlier. Why do we want to carry guilt? Why do we want to carry guilt of sin around? Why would we want to go? I like to be right with God second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. I want to be right with God like that. You know what? God can makes that possible for every one of us, doesn't he? And what that involves for the believer is, now remember, our eternity is settled with Jesus, right? We have the gift of God, and we have eternal life in Jesus. But our fellowship with God and our love to God is that which we have to make sure that we do not allow sin to interrupt that in our life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, the Bible says. So I want to make sure that my life is in line with him, and that I keep the lines of communication open. And so I want to seek God's daily forgiveness. There are times, though, that we have to set aside and say, you know what, this is just time for me just to have a forgiveness time with God. That might be tonight. Some of you might have something in your life, or something in your past that God is speaking to you right now about. Because forgiveness involves having a right spirit. David talks about that. Renew, he says, a right spirit within me. Now, when a person's spirit is not right, it's either, number one, they have a guilt toward God, or number two, they have a guilt toward somebody else. It might be tonight that maybe a couple needs to come and say, you know what, this is just something God's speaking to our heart about. I need to settle this with God tonight. might be a teenager, could be a young adult, it could be anyone here tonight that God is just speaking to you about. But I want you to know that forgiveness is possible. And David says, what I want is not only to restore that joy, but I want that forgiveness. But thirdly, he says, I want the companionship, letter C, to come again. I want God to be with me. Verse 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Uphold me with thy free spirit. David is seeking God's presence because the bottom line is when sin comes into our life, that sometimes that, you know, that we just see that void of God's presence in my life. I don't want God's to leave me. I want God there with me. You know what the best part is? David got right with God. God forgave him. Now, there were consequences because of what he had done, but God forgave him. Thank God for his forgiveness. What about you tonight? Is this forgiving time for you? It's time for you to just kind of give it up. Just give it up. Maybe it's your life. Maybe something that's happened in your life. Just give it up. Come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I just want to give it up. I just want to be right with you. I want the joy once again. I want your companionship in my life. I want all that you promise. I want that once again. Because God says he's offering that to us. You know why he offers that? How we know that? Because of that conviction, that guilt. He offers that to every one of us. You know, one of the things that for me as a pastor, and I think I touched on this a couple weeks ago, there's nothing that brings greater joy in my life than just to see people walk with God. I can really relate to that passage, and I guess it's in 3 John where he says, I have no greater joy than to know that my people walk with God. That's how I feel. Knowing that people walk with God, knowing that people have the joy of the Lord in their heart, knowing that when we serve with joy, not with guilt. That we live our life not under the guilt, but under the forgiveness of God Almighty. In just a moment, I'm gonna pray, and when I pray, I'm gonna have Janet come and play. If God is speaking to your heart about some forgiveness that you need to take care of, I'm gonna offer you to come, whether it would be with somebody or with your spouse, or whether you just need to come and talk to God and you ask God's forgiveness. I just really would like this to be a time that we just seek God's forgiveness, because God says in that forgiveness, there's joy. This could be one of the most joyous services we could possibly have in Him.